Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
All right, grab a seat. Well, good morning. So glad you're here. If you're a guest today, my name is Trey Kelly. Oh, you're so sweet. I get the privilege of being the lead pastor here. And man, we're pumped you're with us, especially if it's your first time with us. We are kicking off a brand new series today. A series just basically, we spent a few weeks talking about a topic because, you know, as adults, we're busy, things going on. It takes us a while to learn new things. And so we talk about a topic for a while, and then we move on to another topic. And typically, when I launch a series, you know, I worry that people aren't going to relate to it. And so I'll pray and I'll try to come up with this really great, or God will give me this really great intro where everybody kind of nods along, and because I want to make sure we all agree with the premise before we discover how God's going to solve it. Well, this is a series about time and about the fact that time flies and that we're all busy. And so I don't really think I have to make an illustration about that. I think we all agree, because here's the reality. Here's the premise we're building this series on, all right? It's this. It's that we live in a time-starved society that relentlessly pushes our limits to do more and accomplish more. More, more, more. Push, stretch, move past your limits. That is the message. It feels like we started receiving at birth and carry through the grave. We're all busy. We all feel busy. And I say everyone because when I was a student, I thought I was busy. And now that I have teenagers, I'm like, I had no idea how busy teenagers could be. When I was in college and single, I felt busy. When I got married, I felt busy. When we had a baby, my wife got busy. Just joke. I help some. You laughed too hard at that. Like you knew it was true. But you have kids, you get busy, and then they have lives and they get busy, and we're all busy. And the weirdest thing about it is that we all know we're busy, but we also are constantly pushing for more. We want more to do. We never feel like we're doing enough. We compare ourselves to other people, and, well, they're doing this activity. Why can't I do this activity? It's as if, and we're all going to push back, because none of us want to admit this, but it's as if we live believing this simple phrase. It's as if we believe that busy is better. Now again, you would never say that. I don't think any of you would raise your hand and say, absolutely, I believe that busy is better. You would probably say the opposite. You would say, man, I would love to have more time. I would love to have more free time. I would love to have more space. I would love to have more breathing room. And that may be how you feel, but if we're honest and we step back and simply observe our lives, we live like we believe that busy is better. The more activities, the more productivity, the more we can accomplish in the world, the more boxes we can check. And again, this isn't always for everyone, but for the vast majority of people, we find our worth, we find our value, we feel like it makes us matter because we're busy, because we have stuff to do. And there's a problem with that approach. And who better to illustrate it than a slinky? How many of you have never heard of a slinky? I'm looking at the students. Did slinkies make it to the 21st century? Back in the 1900s, we had to play with things like this. You know, in our horse and buggy. But you guys remember slinkies. Slinkies were the gift you'd get real excited about it. They'd last a good day, maybe day and a half. If you had stairs, or if you went to a friend's house that had stairs, you might could get it to go down the stairs a couple of times. But inevitably, what happened to the slinky? They get broken, right? They get broken. Sometimes they get tangled together, and I'm not going to tangle it because then I'd be afraid I couldn't untangle it in this moment. But what would often happen with a slinky is if You know, maybe you and another person both wanted this Linky. I'm sure you and your siblings shared everything perfectly. But in my house, we didn't. And so sometimes one person would pull the Slinky that way, and one person would pull the Slinky that way. And who knows what happens if you pull a Slinky too far. If you pull it, uh-oh. I know. This thing was designed to be enjoyed. It was designed to be used properly. But when we push it past its breaking point, this is the result. Can I ask you a question? How many of you feel so busy in your life that you're about to hit your breaking point? Or let's be real today. Maybe you're past your breaking point. Maybe the activities that brought you joy are now just another task. And for some of us, that breaking point, we turn internal and we blame ourselves, and we try to figure out ways to create more space and more time and more margin for more activity. But for a lot of people, that breaking point, and again, not pointing fingers, except at myself, and if you relate, you're relating to me, so there's no judgment here. But sometimes when we get pushed past that breaking point, especially when it comes to time, other people are the ones who suffer. Because we're so busy, when we get pushed past that breaking point, we find ourselves frustrated that the rest of the world isn't aiding in our busyness. And something's really urgent to you, and maybe it's not to a spouse, and perhaps you have judged that spouse. Perhaps you have made a sharp comment about how their unwillingness to participate in your busyness. What's really fascinating is when it gets transferred to the children. You know those activities we talk about, all the activities they do? Those activities you encourage them to join, those activities you're convinced are going to help them get into college and be successful adults. All those activities, all the extracurricular activities that we pay for and we support. When we get pushed past our breaking point, you know what happens to those activities? We feel bitter about them. I got to take you again. I got to drop you off again. I have to go sit and watch you again. Do you know how busy I am? Again, no judgment. None whatsoever. And if you're sitting here looking at me saying, I don't know what you are talking about, man, then maybe take a few weeks off. Because you've got this licked. But the rest of us, we live in a time-starved society where every message, every impulse is do more, accomplish more, accomplish more. And man, some of us are at our breaking point. Some of us are past our breaking point. Some of us, see if you can relate to this, can be so busy living our life that we never take time to enjoy our life. I got some response from this section. So, and again, none of our heart as a church is to make you feel guilty, make you feel like you're doing something wrong. That's not the point, because good news, we're all wrong. That's why we needed a king to come rescue us. And I've got really good news today when it comes to time, and when it comes to busy, and when it comes to all of this. This is a truth I'm going to speak over you now. We're going to unpack over the next few weeks. Because here's the truth. When our king looks at us and sees how we manage our time and how we're running, here's what I know to be true. I know that God wants better than busy for our life. He came to give us life to the fullest. He came to give us life that is satisfying. He came to give us life that is characterized by contentment. He came to give us a life that is filled with the joys of the gifts he's given us. So if that's what he intends, and that's not what we experience, what are we to do? Glad you asked. because that's what we're going to talk about for the next few weeks, is how God wants better than the constant 24/7, 365 grind to do more and accomplish more, how God wants better for us than that in our lives. And I've got good news. If you call Wellspring home, you know this. This is week one of our series. This is an intro message. And what that really means is the entire goal of today is for all of us to feel safe enough, even in God's presence, to lay down our defenses. Because you probably already are listing all the reasons why your busy is okay and everyone else's busy is wrong, but you don't get it, Trey. I have to do something. Look, I hear you, and I'm not going to argue with you today. So I invite you to lay that down. To lay that down so that you can be honest with yourself and say, does any area of your life feel like this? Is it possible you have been pulled past your breaking point? Because if you have, God has a better way. And so the goal of today is for all of us to be honest with ourselves, to be honest before our King. If you're here today, you don't consider yourself a Christ follower, you can still be honest today. God's truth about time is truth, whether you believe in him or not. And I invite you to lean in and try some of the stuff we're going to talk about over the next few weeks, because you'll discover if God's right about that, he might be right about everything else too. So it's an invitation to lean in, to tell your King, yeah, man, I'm exhausted. I go from here to there, and I can't figure it out. I don't know why it's not working, but I'm not satisfied. I don't understand. I'm doing everything right. I'm checking all the boxes. I'm checking three people's boxes. But I'm just feeling more tired. I'm just feeling worn out. And our King would say, that's because I want better than busy for your life. And I know that's a pretty ethereal, kind of out here concept. And so there's a story I want us to turn to from the life of Jesus, specifically from Jesus' ministry. And if you attend Wellspring, you've talked about this story before. If you grew up in church, you've heard the story before. It's a very common story. But I love it because it's a story about time. And it's a story about two people who handle time differently. One person handles time the way we all handle time. The other person handles time the way God would encourage us to handle time. And it's in this story that God not only reveals an eternal truth about our time, that if we accept, it really can clarify a lot of things. And he gives us a step to take moving forward. And so our entire goal today is just for us to be safe enough to admit maybe we have a problem, to begin wrestling with our King's step forward, and to then spend this week inviting him in. That's all we're going to do this week, all right? I'm not really going to ask you to change anything this week. This is a week about increasing our awareness of how we currently are and where God might want us to go. So if you have your Bibles, I would love for you to open them with me to Luke. That's the third book in our New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke. To Luke chapter 10. If you don't know who Luke was an early Christian. He was a physician by trade. He was also a historian. And he went and he wrote one of the biographies we have of Jesus' life. He interviewed eyewitnesses and he wrote this account. He also wrote the book of Acts, which is the fifth book in our New Testament. It tells the history of the early church. And here's how Luke begins this story. He tells us that as Jesus and his disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Again, I think we talked about this story like earlier this year, but it was just so perfect we had to bring it back. And so if you are familiar with the story, you know where I'm going. If you're unfamiliar, I want you to imagine for yourself, you're at home. You're getting ready for the weekend. You don't know what's going on. There's no cell phones or anything. And the next thing you know, Jesus, the person you believe to be the Son of God, shows up at your door with 12 men who have been traveling in sandals on dirt roads for weeks. And they're smelly and they're gross and they come in and you immediately, have a heart attack because Jesus is here and, hospitality hasn't changed in 2,000 years. You got to feed them. You got to find them a place to stay. And so instantly, Martha, who welcomes them into her home, begins to panic and begins to start trying to arrange all the things because 12 guys just showed up. She probably hadn't prepared a meal for 12 extra people. And so a panic sets in. Something has happened, and her immediate thought is, I'm not busy enough. I better get busy. I better get busy taking care of Jesus and these men. Now, her sister, whose name is Mary, she took a different approach. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. So Jesus comes in with his disciples. They sit down. Mary just sits right down there with him and just listening to Jesus, just enjoying it like that she doesn't have a care in the world, like no circumstances have changed, like nothing is going on. Mary just sits there. We're told Martha, however, but Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. I want to pause for a minute because I want to give all the host and hostess in the room a chance to breathe. Because I feel like you might can feel where the vibe of the story might be going, and you want to argue back. You want to be like, whoa, 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 whoa. Hospitality is commanded in the Bible. And so if 12 people show up, you better believe I'm going to be distracted being hospitable to them. And I don't need you, Trey, pushing back. Good. I'm not. Jesus is going to. You can take it up with him. Because Martha is running around, and she starts to panic. And here's what she says. I love this. She came to Jesus, which means in front of the whole group, because he's teaching. There was no way to come to Jesus. There was a group. Mary's at the front. Martha's here. Everyone heard what she was saying. This was a public admonishment of her little sister. Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? I mean, she's using extreme language, all, you know, next thing you know, she's going to say, she never helps. You know how when you're mad, everything becomes always and never, and nothing is ever always and never. Tell her to come help me. Man, she is telling Jesus what to do. And here's the thing. This is the thing you have to get. Martha felt 100% right and justified in her approach. There was no part of her that expected what Jesus said back. And I just say that for all of us to, oh, you know what? Yeah, Martha wasn't really, yeah, she's not a bad person. She was just confused and she went to Jesus and let's see what he says. Because Jesus, of course, is going to address her in this moment. And there's a reason one of them thought to tell Luke this story so Luke could write it down. It's because the Holy Spirit wanted us to know this story. And so Martha's all frazzled. Mary is now probably like in a pause. She's like, well, I thought I was supposed to sit here. Am I supposed to go be help? I don't know. So Jesus has a lot to deal with. And so he looks at Martha first. I love this. My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. I think Martha almost renounced Jesus right there. Worried about all this. You're the one who showed up with 12 stinky men needing food. And you're clearly not worried about it. I don't see a basket over here. Are you going to make food appear like you did before? Like, I don't know what's happening, Jesus. You just showed up. So, yeah, man, I'm worried about these details because someone has to be. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you live with that mantra? I said, don't raise your hand, Danielle. Yes, I am worried. Yes, I'm exhausted because someone has to be. The world won't turn unless I turn it. And look, I know it sounds like I'm trying to bring you in. I'm not trying to mock you because here's what I'll tell you. You believe that because your lived experience has taught you that. You're not wrong. Everything in your life has led you to that moment. Everything in Martha's life had led her to that moment. Everything had fed the idea, the lie, that busy is better. So when Jesus says, you're worried about all these details, Martha's like, I know, join me, please. And then Jesus says this. He says, there's only one thing worth being concerned about. And Mary has discovered it. And it will not be taken away from her. Now don't worry. We're going to read this story again. Now that we know what's going on. But before we do, I want to reveal one of the truths that I think God's trying to teach us in this. I said a moment ago that God wants better than busy for our life. To me, this story illustrates why. And it's because busy often blocks what's best. And this is where we all have to get a little quiet and say, you know what? That's true. When my busyness makes me resent 5, 10, 15 minutes in the car alone with my teenager because I'm taking them to something or away something, I'm too busy. Because it's blocking what's best in that moment. And we're going to get to this in a minute, but it's not your fault that you're so busy. You've been lied to. But before we get there, I want to walk back to the story again. Because now we understand exactly what's going on. We know where Jesus is going to go. If you didn't know the story, you know it now. There's no tension. And so we can kind of pick apart what's going on. So as we go back through it again, we know Jesus shows up. Martha welcomes him into her home. And then we find our tension point, right? Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner that she was preparing. All right? So an event happens. Jesus shows up with 12 of his, at least 12. It could have been more, but if the disciples were there, there were 12 of them. But he could have had even more people. They show up at Martha's house. And from the time they show up to the time Martha goes to Jesus to ask for, hey, will you help me with Mary? I don't want you to miss something. Martha and Mary had the exact same amount of time. 30 minutes, an hour, however long it was. They had the exact same amount of time. And according to Jesus, one person got it right in that moment, and one person got it wrong. But it can't have been because they didn't have enough time. Mary and Martha had the exact same amount of time. I point that out because this is the breakthrough I think the Holy Spirit needs to give us if we ever want to actually live the life he created us to live, if we want to live beyond busy. If we want to live that satisfied, content life that he created for us. And here's the truth. Our problem isn't time. It's what we do with our time. Our problem isn't time. Our problem is we don't understand how to properly prioritize our time. We don't know how, but in this moment, Mary did. Martha didn't. Which is why when Jesus is confronted, he tells Martha and us this truth. He says, there's only one thing worth being concerned about, and Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. Now again, Jesus didn't mean forever. He didn't mean those things don't matter. He didn't mean don't cook a meal. As best I can tell, what probably happened, and this is guessing, I wasn't there, but Jesus showed up with something to say. And when he came in the door, clearly Mary either caught it or heard it, or maybe Mary asked, hey, do you want us to go make dinner or do you want us to hang out? We don't know exactly what happened, but Jesus showed up with something to say. And Mary heard that, and trusted him enough to say, I know there's stuff to do. Let's give Mary credit. Mary knew what needed to get done as well. But her king said, we need to talk. And so she understood, okay, if he wants me to talk and he's my king, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to let this happen, and the rest of it, we'll deal with that later. For whatever reason, Martha missed that. My guess is the second Jesus walked through the door, rather than joy, she felt anxiety. Because the expectations of the world flooded her. Her natural inclinations of, I'm not ready, I better get busy, took over. She didn't consult her king, and she just went straight into work mode. She just went straight into cleaning mode and preparing mode. Jesus is over here teaching. He's teaching Mary. He had something he wanted to teach Martha. And Martha would have told you and would probably still defend herself to this day. When I find her in heaven, I'm going to ask her about it. She's probably going to say, I have another side of that story, by the way. I really do. And I'll just hug her and I say, I love you. But at the end of the day, she was too distracted preparing for Jesus to hear the message he wanted to speak to her in that moment. And it had nothing to do with time. She had enough time. So again, it's why I say our problem isn't time. Our problem is what we do with our time. Our problem is we live in a world that confuses urgent with important. And what Martha was doing was the urgent thing. The urgent thing. The thing her flesh and society taught her must be handled now, must be handled now, must be handled now, that it never even occurred to her to check with her king to see if maybe he had something more important for her to do. And see, to me, this is the danger of living busy. This is the danger of being pushed past our breaking point, is that we can confuse urgent and important. And we can get so busy and we can get so exhausted running through life and putting out all the urgent fires, all the things that have to get done. And I know you're saying, but Trey, they have to get done. I hear you. I'm not telling you to change anything. It's all about changing our perspective of it. But we can live so urgent that we miss the important. We can live so urgent that we're so exhausted that if you've ever raised teenagers, you know they hit a window of time where they really do want to talk to you, but it's always 30 minutes after you're ready to go to bed. Always. Whatever time it is, you're ready to go to bed. 15, 20 minutes later is when they want to talk. It just is. And here's what I've learned by the grace of God. Those are important conversations. Those are important times. But if we're not careful, we can get so busy running and pushing and trying to achieve and doing the urgent things we say are for our kids or for our spouse or for our parents, all those things, that we miss those important moments. And I said a moment ago that it's not our fault. See, we've been lied to. See, we've got an enemy, and he hates our guts. And the first thing he tries to get us to do is to sin. He just wants us to sin because it destroys our life. But there's plenty of people who are raised in church, and you know what's right and wrong, and you know what's good and bad, and you love God, and you have placed your heart in him. And so it gets much harder to make you bad. And I hate that word, but it works in this illustration. Maybe you grew up hearing this. If the devil can't make you bad, what does he do? He makes you busy. He makes you busy. He can make us so busy doing so many urgent things, so many even good things, that we miss the most important thing, and we never, ever, ever do it intentionally. Martha thought she was serving her king, but it blocked her from seeing he had a message for her. And see, that's why we keep saying that God wants better than busy for our life. It's because busy often blocks what's best. That's why this is one of our enemy's key tactics. He's not going to get you to actually intentionally do something sinful towards your child or sinful towards your spouse or sinful towards yourself or sinful towards someone you love. He's not going to be able to get you to do that. But if he can get you busy enough, if he can pull you past that breaking point enough, he can develop a resentment in you and put it on those people because they're not urgent about the things you're urgent about. Maybe they feel like this other thing is a little more important. And maybe you found yourself going to your king, praying that he would just help you convince them to join you in your urgency. So I love the story. I think we've all been there. I think we can all see ourselves in Martha. I think this story also reveals some of the indicators that were stretched. Martha was really judging her sister. I want you to imagine the level of frustration she must have experienced, not to even call her out privately, but to call her out publicly, to call her out in front of the God of the universe and his best friends, to intentionally seek to embarrass her. In that moment, there was a level of frustration, a level of anger in there. And that's an anger that only comes when we are pushed past our breaking point. So as we get ready to wrap, I got an honest question for you. Where are you frustrated? Who are you frustrated with? And please hear me. Sometimes frustration is from Jesus. So I'm not, this isn't universal. But you know why you're frustrated. Are you frustrated because you feel like you're the only one at home pulling your weight? Are you frustrated with him because he just doesn't seem to get how these little things matter? Are you frustrated with her because sometimes she just wants to chill and you're like, no, we've got more to do. See, that frustration comes from the lie that busy is better. That frustration comes from you believing that you are in charge of all the things. The frustration comes from, I don't feel like I have enough time to accomplish everything I'm supposed to accomplish. Why aren't they helping me? And it's possible they're not helping you because you are doing a harmful thing. And that's what we're going to spend the next few weeks talking about. As I said, no change today. Just a space to observe. But today or this week, if you could admit, yeah, I do feel like I'm at or either past my breaking point. It does feel like I'm constantly working through life and I'm so busy, I don't enjoy it, and I get resentful of the people around me that it seems like they are enjoying their life. I don't celebrate it for them. When your friends go on vacation, are you joyful or jealous? It's just a question. Because we've all been there. Martha was there. And for Martha and us, there were two things we could do. One is to recognize the eternal truth of this passage and the eternal truth that is prevalent in our lives. And it's this, it's that our problem isn't time, it's what we do with our time. And I know what you want to say back. But Trey, how do we know the difference? How do we know the best thing? How do we know the right thing? It's a great question. It's where we're going to pick up next week. But between now and then, I want to give you a step this week. Observe your life. Where do you feel the pressure points? Where do you feel stretched? Where do you feel like maybe you're starting to delve into bitterness? Where do you feel like maybe you're starting to delve into frustration? Where are you getting frustrated with the people in your life? And rather than asking God to help you convince them, what if you prayed this instead? God, is this the best use of this time in my life? What if you just simply invited God in to the discussion? You invite him into your parenting. Many of you invite him into your finances. You invite him into your marriage. I don't know why we believe we shouldn't invite him into the most precious resource we have on earth, which is time, because we can never get it back. So what would happen this week when you feel the pressure or when you don't? If you just begin and say, hey, God, is this the best use of this time in my life? Just invite him into the conversation. Invite him in to begin weighing in on your priorities, to begin weighing in on your effort, to begin weighing in on your rest. And I am convinced that as you observe this week, you're going to see places where you are stretched and you are close to your breaking point or maybe past it. And the simple thought of inviting God in is going to give you comfort and it's going to give you peace. And I believe a desire to come by next week as we're going to learn how not only good news, God has completely taken care of the time issue. I'll tell you more next week. It's nothing we have to worry about. But also, he's given us a gift and steps and people where he wants to speak so much clarity into this. But before we can get to the clarity, we have to establish the need for clarity. So this week, my prayer is that as you observe your life, and you ask God, is this the best use of this time in my life? That your need for clarity, your need for his direction will become so strong and so apparent that you will begin to run to him, to turn to him, to invite him in. And Wellspring, once we invite him in, that's when the change happens. Because he wants better than busy for our life. He wants blessing. He wants abundance. He wants life to the full. But he'll never offer that without him. And it's only when we choose to invite him in to this moment that things begin to change. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to have our response time. And you may want to come down in front and pray with one of our prayer team. You may want to take communion. You may want to just thank God. And you may want to spend some time even now thinking through this week. And just invite God in. Hey, is this the best use of this? And if it's not, would you show me? Would you help me to stop being slaves to the urgent so that I can focus on the important? If you ask him, he will. And then come back next week. And we'll learn the step we can all take to live better than busy. Let me pray. Father, we love you so much. God, we're just so grateful for your son. We're so grateful for the clarity he provides. And Lord, we just ask you in this moment to calm us, to soothe us, to give us peace, to help us step outside of our schedule and to see that our King wants to be in charge of it as well. Show us where we're near our breaking points and then give us the guts to invite you in. We thank you that when we ask, you speak. I ask you to speak this week and then bring us all back together, ready to learn how to live better than busy. We love you. We thank you. It's in your son's name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Let's respond.